We are reading in the book Shamati, article number 5. Lishma is an awakening from above, and why do we need an awakening from below? We just want to remind you that you can ask questions at 1-700-509-219, and you can also watch our broadcasts on the internet at www.kab.tv. The question that we stopped on was that if a person really wants the Creator, the greatness of the Creator, to feel His greatness in order to subjugate himself and progress forward to acquiring the attribute of bestowal, why is it that when he wants it, he doesn't feel that the Creator gives him goodness by it and draws him through good things, but feels unending difficulties? As he says here, that is, why doesn't the Creator give him taste and livelihood in the work, but he has to constantly prevail against obstructions, weakness, confusions, and it's unending, and a person is always in doubt, is he progressing correctly? Because we ordinarily, when we progress to something good, we progress, we feel this progress. And here he seemingly progresses, but he doesn't believe that he progresses, because in his senses, in his discernments, in the way he criticizes his states, he doesn't feel that way. On the contrary, he feels more and more difficult every time, more confusions. And then because of that, 1,000 go into a room and one comes out to teach, and a person falls and feels increasing difficulties. And the answer is? So the answer is, paragraph the answer. The answer is that we must know that this matter is a great correction. Were it not for that, meaning if the light and livelihood had illuminated instantaneously when one began to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, one would have had livelihood in the work. In other words, the will to receive would have consented to this work. In that state, he would certainly agree because he wants to satiate his desire, meaning he would work for self-benefit. In other words, a person would necessarily be drawn forward, but not because he wants to reach bestowal, but because he would receive in his progress fulfillment. For the will to receive, he wouldn't be able to avoid it. And because the Creator knows this is human nature, that our whole matter is a will to receive, a will to enjoy, how then is it possible to promote a person to the attribute of bestowal if not by preventing one from the pleasant feelings, so that one will constantly be able to see that he needs the fulfillment of bestowal? Otherwise, he will not be able to stand at this empty, dark place that he's feeling. And it is precisely when he progresses, and in this progress he feels darkness instead of filling to his will to receive, instead of pleasure, instead of livelihood. So he shouldn't be asking for a livelihood and pleasure, but for the corrections the Creator deliberately placed, the correction of the storm. And then darkness will shine as light. So that darkness which a person feels in his progress is the place of deficiency to be filled with light of chassadim. Had that been the case, meaning if the Creator had given him pleasure and livelihood in the progress, there would never have been a real possibility to reach Lishma for her name. This is because a person would be compelled to work for one's own benefit, as one feels greater pleasure in the work of God than in corporal desires. Thus, one would have to remain in Lo Lishma, since in that he would have satisfaction in the work. And where there is satisfaction, one cannot do anything, as without profit, one cannot work. If we are made of a substance that's the will to receive, and the light that is in the desire fills it, controls, a person becomes completely subjugated to that state and becomes unable to think of anything else but the filling and wants only more fillings. That is why there is no choice. The correction is only to feel darkness instead of light. Then he'll have a choice, either to ask for fulfillment, which is called the righteous veil in them, or ask for a correction, light of chasadim. This is called, the wicked will fail in them and the righteous will walk in them, meaning that he'll ask for correction, light of chasadim, that will fill this void of his, and he'll go from strength to strength. That point is a crucial point in which a person gets stuck, and either he leaves the way of God because he's looking for fillings and he can't take it anymore, or he prevails and asks for corrections, and then he progresses to the goal. And of course a person cannot ask for it by himself, because within his nature he doesn't have any preparations for it, but only from society can he receive these forces. A person has only a will to receive and darkness within the will to receive, and if society doesn't help him, the books, society does not help him understand in this preparation that this is the moment where he should ask for correction, meaning light of chasadim, the attribute of bestowal, the greatness of the Creator, instead of crying, why is it dark, why am I suffering, is this the reward for the effort, for the progress. If he understands that this is precisely the place to ask for corrections and not for fulfillments, then he will progress, and the strength for it can only be received from the environment, the books and the friends. Within a person, there isn't that force of asking for correction instead of feeling. And then from within that darkness, he either falls and leaves the whole system of progressing toward the goal, or he progresses toward the goal. And thus, many times in every step of the way. What does it mean to ask for correction? Asking for correction, where the Creator shines with his greatness, not with the filling, but with the greatness, and then the will to receive surrenders. It's a special feeling, a special light for the special request for the light to fill the void. There's a kli that appeared from the void, yes, from the point. There was a point here in the heart which awakened within a person's heart. That's the heart. A person worked on that point. What does it mean that he worked on it? First, this point appeared. And then comes, then there are the books in the group. By doing that, he drew on himself, on this point, through the books in the group. He drew from above surrounding light. Now this point grew to the size of a kli. But the kli is empty. Yes? And this is what a person feels right now. An empty kli. Empty kli. Now, before him, there is a choice of either asking for filling, to be filled, asking for fulfillment, or asking for correction. One of the two. That's it. If he asks for the filling, it's a sign he did not prepare himself through the group. If he asks for filling, then he leaves the way. If he's asking for a correction, then he continues. That's it. Yes. Where do you take the flesh to increase your nekuda, your point of the heart into a kli? Rav says through the surrounding light. He increases the point of the heart to the measurement, to the size of an empty kli. So it is. And the light that stands opposite the kli awakens in the kli the sensation of emptiness when it stands in front of it. So asking for a correction, the correction that a person asks for, that he should raise, man or a prayer, which is a request for the sensation of the greatness of the Creator. Specifically, the greatness of the Creator, because only in that is his clear surrender. What is the greatness of the Creator? The greatness or the importance of the attribute of bestowal. And that's it. This is the only thing he needs, nothing more. If he asks for that, this is five, he receives it, and then it is called light, a light that reforms. Six. And from that, he has a masach. Yes. During the preparation, in their request for correction, there's also a request for fulfillment, no? I've said during the preparation, everything's mixed up. Yes, the sensation of greatness of the Creator, greatness of bestowal. Because if I ask, show me that you're great, that you are controlling, that you're the ruler, then I'll just attach myself to you. It's a sensation that fills the kli. It's an egoistic sensation. Yes. So does he receive it as correction or filling? As correction. The sensation of the greatness of the Creator is a correction, because it's a sensation that bestowal is greater than reception, more powerful, more higher. And it helps a person acquire this attribute. However, it really works is hard to explain in words, but basically that's how it works. At least that's how we can talk about this point. So we are continuing to read. It follows that if one had received satisfaction in this work of Lo Lishma, one would have to remain in that state. It would have been similar to what people say, that when there are people chasing the thief to catch him, the thief too runs and yells, "Catch the thief." Then it is impossible to recognize the real thief so as to catch him and take the theft out of his hand. However, when the thief, meaning the will to receive, does not feel any flavor and livelihood in the work of accepting the burden of the kingdom of heaven, if in that state one works with faith above reason, coercively, and the body becomes accustomed to this work against one's desire to receive, then one has the means to come to a work that will be with the purpose to bring contentment to one's maker. This is so because the primary requirement from a person is to come to dvikut, adhesion, with the Creator through one's work, which is discerned as equivalence of form, where all one's deeds are in order to bestow. It is as the verse says, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." The meaning of then is that first, in the beginning of one's work, he did not have pleasure. Instead, one's work is coercive. However, afterwards, when one has already accustomed oneself to work in order to bestow and not examine oneself, if he is feeling a good taste in the work, but believes that he brings contentment to his maker with his work, one should believe that the Creator accepts the labor of the lower ones, regardless of how much is the form of their labor. In everything, the Creator examines the intention. That brings contentment to the Creator. And then one is imparted, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." Even during the work of God, he now feels delight and pleasure, as now one really does work for the Creator, because the effort he made during the coercive work qualifies one to be able to work for the Creator in earnest. You find that then too the pleasure one receives relates to the Creator, meaning specifically to the Creator. Meaning after he acquires the attribute of bestowal and is in it, his nature changes, is inverted to the point where he begins to feel pleasure by giving and not receiving. There was no tzimtzum on that pleasure. There are no limitations on it. And then he finds himself in a sensation of eternal life because the pleasure from bestowal is unending. So he doesn't feel that something ends, that something is temporary. There's no sensation of time because he adds more and more. And the reality that he discovers is an unending reality, unlimited reality of love and feelings. And this reality is called, or the sensation is called, the spiritual reality. Questions? Yes. Why does he feel empty in the beginning of the work and in the end filled, and it doesn't deviate him from the way? It's not in order to receive. The feeling that a person feels can be for two reasons. The reason for the filling might be that he catches the flavor of thin light, which is permitted to us in our world, to receive in order to live. Here we have a filling called thin light. Thin light. Very tiny candle. That's one incident where you can feel flavor, some livelihood below the machzon, the barrier. And it is also possible to feel pleasure in the worlds, spiritual worlds. Asiya, Yetzirah, Briya, Atzilut, Adam Kadmon. Here are pleasures from bestowal. Here is a thin candle, tiny candle, pleasure from reception. When a person switches to vessels of bestowal, he begins to feel pleasure in giving. We cannot explain it in our words. Because if I explain that it's because there's a general kli which feels all the other kelim, which is in the same system with, so it's egoistic. He gives them because he's in the system and he wants that system to live. So it's egoistic. But he is more aware, more evolved, understands that the whole world is interdependent, globalization compels him. So he gives to everyone, so everyone's happy. And we have to love each other, otherwise we'll destroy everyone. Fine. That's egoistic. But so here there has to be a third element called the Creator. When I give to others and put that kli together, it's because I want to be like Him by doing that. And then my giving to them, because it is for the purpose of resembling Him, this giving really is given. It's not egoistic. It's in order to send pleasure to Him. And for that, I need great corrections, because I have no preparations for it. To feel Him, to think of Him, that He'll have pleasure. There's nothing more opposite from my nature, from my kelim, which want only to enjoy themselves. They don't feel anybody else. Even if I did feel other souls, I would eventually discover that they are my own. That we're together. We see in this world, can people join together and care for each other? Take mafia or something? They're all totally devoted to each other. So there has to be some imperceptible force here, undetectable, in just wanting filling. Unless there's darkness to a person, and corresponding to that darkness which the Creator deliberately is, He creates light and creates darkness. Darkness is a creation in and of itself. So if, with respect to that darkness, a person prepares himself in, with the group and with the friends, and demands to have not filling in this darkness, but the greatness of the Creator, as I drew it here, then he is going to acquire the second nature. So there has to be here both the group and the Creator, and eventually the person too, and humanity or the group and the group, humanity, everything has to be corrected together. Without it, you can't reach the real attribute of the soul, Israel, and the Torah and the Creator. That's it. Otherwise, you always find that you're chasing feelings. Even if you don't admit it, just like all those altruists who think they're working for the world. He said that the kli created from the point in the heart. Is it possible for a person to know if his kli was created from the point in the heart? Does it matter? It just makes sense. Once in my ordinary life, I felt empty. And I was drawn to something. Well, I was looking. This emptiness forced me to fill it. I tried here and there, you know. Where do I find fulfillment? I didn't. I did all kinds of things until I ended up with all kinds of books, people who explained this, that. The desire grew. It became more concentrated, focused. It wasn't that focused yet. I didn't know what yet. But it somehow started to be more organized. Afterwards, well, that's today. In those days, it was different. But so eventually, I ended up in a group that studies, that reads some books or whatever. I felt that here there's a means. Perhaps through this knowledge I will be able to fill myself. So I continued with them. I read all kinds of articles, all kinds of material, talks about filling, bestowal, all kinds of lofty things. I didn't quite understand it. I was confused and everything, but I made an effort. When I made an effort, by doing that, I drew surrounding light on myself. So I drew surrounding light, and the point now turned from a point to a desire through the group, through the books, through reading, through the light that clothed in them, which I didn't feel. But my desire was shaped somehow. What do I want? Where am I drawn to? How can I arrange it and realize it? And I began to somehow be more oriented. It's not that I directed myself, but my work brought me to a certain state. When that state became, I seemingly progressed. I felt more, understood more, I grew smarter. Suddenly felt, boom, I'm empty. This emptiness shows me that I'm an empty kli. Empty kli. Because of the emptiness of the kli, now there's a question, what do I do about it? There are several steps here where a person is given some treats from above so he can continue along the way. But after a few times, he is placed in a situation where he feels his empty kli, and then begins to be able to choose either to continue or leave. Sometimes he leaves for a bit and comes back. Sometimes he doesn't leave but just dies on the spot, so to speak. Just leaves the process and then reawakens slowly. And sometimes he leaves entirely. If he doesn't leave, meaning if he chooses that state four, if he chooses to ask for fulfillment or correction, if he asks for correction for his emptiness, the request for correction is a prayer. Now the request is not to give me filling, but give me the attribute of bestowal. Give me correction. Give me the light of chasadim. Give me the possibility to bestow, to resemble you. Resemble you how? Give me the greatness of the attribute of bestowal. Show me that it's a great thing. Not that it'll be a possession of my will to receive, but that my values will change, that I will appreciate bestowal more than reception. And then this is called the light that reforms, and a person begins to appreciate the attribute of bestowal more than anything. This is called creating a masach in him. He prefers to be in order to bestow over being in order to receive. And according to the size of his masach, he begins to work with zivug daka, etc., etc. He enters for the first time into contact from within himself with the Creator. So 8 is already the machson, the barrier. When he crosses the machson, makes his zivug daka, he crosses the machson. Yes. When he asks for the attribute of bestowal, why does he ask it? He asks for the attribute of bestowal because he made great efforts. Yes, whatsoever the hand intends to do by the hand that do in the group, in the books, in study, in dissemination, in whatever, and drew upper light on it. But this upper light, the force of bestowal, still didn't manifest itself in a person by building in him the attribute of bestowal. But it gave him the foundation, some inner support, though hidden, where a person already has some special attitude to this attribute. It works behind the scene, this way, the surrounding light. And then a person feels that he's just got a special attitude to it, toward it. When you came in the beginning of your ways here, you said Kabbalah and bestowal, reception and bestowal were for you completely abstract terms. Afterwards, you all started feeling them as something closer to you, that it belonged. You started seeing how your heart, how your body reacted to these words. Reception, bestowal. It's a little different. And bit by bit, you developed a more clear attitude. This called the surrounding light works and creates in a person the gives them the foundations to decide what's the difference between the attribute of bestowal here and the altruists in this world who think that they too are giving. The altruists who act in this world belong to the natural altruists, which are 10%, which are about 10% of humanity. They have no sensation of internal emptiness. They only have a sensation that they belong to a general system. They feel the system itself. It's a corporal sensation. They're not awakened to the Creator, and from that they are beginning to turn to the creatures as a means, as a kli for attaining congruence, resemblance to the Creator. We are egoists, greater egoists than anyone. We want the Creator, spirituality, all the worlds and everything. When we begin to study, when we begin to want it, then we discover that wanting it is possible, or receiving it is possible, acquiring it is possible only in the general kli of all the souls, because everyone has a point. So I don't have a choice, and I slowly begin to understand that I have to first connect to everybody, and through everybody connect to the Creator. It doesn't go at all according to the feeling that I wanted to draw, but I want the feeling, but then I realize it's not a desire for the feeling, but that's how the Creator arranges my desire. But when inside I really want bestowal, it's a completely kind of twisted way, indirect, many inversions along the way. However, altruists simply feel that the whole humanity is one body. We are all as one. We are all dependent on each other. We are brothers. In the Torah too, all kinds of, when Jews came to acquire the land of Canaan, they said, why don't we live together? There were many such pleas. We are brothers, we're fine, you, us, let's marry, let's, you know. Altruists. But the foundation was entirely different. Those who came to Kabbalah, those who come to Kabbalah, want the Creator. The point in the heart. It's a part of God above. And then to the rest of the world, because they don't have a choice somehow. They begin to understand that they have to work this way. And they don't agree with it, but they don't have a choice, so they accept it above reason. But those simply feel, by nature, that we're all brothers, we're all people, we're all close, we all depend on each other, dependent on each other. That is why it is completely impossible to turn to them with the wisdom of Kabbalah. They will not understand you. They will suspect you in a thousand ways. It's forbidden. But when we are with them, we should just talk about common things. We are together with you, and we want to work together. Cooperation, we want everyone to be together as brothers, to think of the good thing about being one. And it's true. And that's how Baal HaSulam wanted to unite the nation of Israel. He went to Poland and wanted to do it all over the world, each according to his own degree, to the desire that awakened in him of the general system, the light that was working on everyone. So that too is good. But of course, it is still not the goal, because the purpose of creation is adhesion with the Creator. But by being incorporated together, they will feel a special attitude, special importance in the attribute of bestowal, because they'll feel how good it is, and they'll be at a corporal level in some earthly attribute of bestowal in order to receive. And still, there will be in them some preparation to understand that there is a higher purpose to creation. In ordinary people, in masses, it'll come in this way, through physical congruence, to give to each other. We'll give to each other, and by that we will understand that there's something else. But for us, it comes not through the vessels of bestowal light, as it would come with ordinary people, but through the egoistic, ruthless vessels of reception, where we want to capture the Creator. This is called the law of Torah. Those who progress according to the light that reforms, yes? Through the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's opposite from the rule of landlords. For them, the steps toward correction will be different. It's called being dust under the feet of the righteous. Dust meaning they cannot change. But, well, it's an explanation. Yes. When a person crosses the Mahsum and begins to work in Bistol, what makes him progress? If he's in the world of Asiya and he's already happy, so why should he continue? I heard this sentence several times lately. A person who reaches a certain degree, spiritual degree, doesn't matter if it's in the beginning or almost the end of the ladder. In each degree, he attains his kli and the wholeness in it. Spirituality is wholeness. Why, then, does he have a drive to progress? First of all, what he attains is only partial wholeness. How does it appear? Because in every degree you have the Achab de Elyon, Achab of the Upper One. And so after you obtain your degree, you begin to discover that it's in you. And then you begin to feel yourself with respect to a higher state, that you are in darkness, that the future doesn't shine for you. The future is dark. The dark future erases your whole present. The whole present. Tell a person, you know, in a month and a half, you'll die. But until then, you can do whatever you want. So, you'll see how happy he'll be for these month and a half, if he knows exactly. And here, you know the future for certain to be dark. So it develops kilim. Besides, corresponding to it, the Achab de Elyon, or the Rishimot of a person himself, which are actually the same, they're one opposite the other, the light that awakens the Rishimot. So you discover your own kli in the next degree, the empty kli. And then you once again fall into darkness. You obtain something, fine, but then what? Just like in this world. You bought a car after a week, fine, so I have it. Now what? A house. You bought a house? Great. I sleep in it, I live in it, and then what? Meaning after you get something, it becomes permanent. In what's permanent doesn't fill you. Only additions fill you. That's why people who come to a state of saying, I have, it's the worst possible thing. That's why Rabar says, you feel tastelessness. If you don't feel anything, you feel bad. Add needs. Blindfold yourself. You can't dance. You can't dance out of it. So create a need in yourself. Blindfold yourself or tie your legs so you can't walk. You'll see how it'll wake you up and give you livelihood when you open your eyes. And it's no joke. A person, by that, begins to work with himself and see his own nature. We do it with children. No, so he doesn't work. He doesn't want to play with his games anymore. So we take them and hide them. In 2 or 3 months, we give them to him, and they're like new for him. But I didn't understand the difference between the suffering before the Mahsum and after the Mahsum, after the barrier. Suffering there is because I cannot love the Creator with all my heart. The heart is all the desires. I can love Him in the point, in a little more than the point, but not with all my heart. This is the suffering. You don't understand it. You do? Well. Okay. Yes. Blindfolding yourself is like the least of all troubles. I can think that someone saw more than I did and be happy about it. So what did I do with it? First try it and then we'll talk. Yes. Joy is the right sign for progress. It depends from what. So where is the joy here? If there's suffering here and there in the progress, emptically before the Mahsum? It's all theoretical. It's as if you're already walking about past the Mahsum. So let's switch to the second part. We'll switch to the second part of the lesson, Talmud Esos Sfirot.